Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Tanner from TMNBaseballFan.com. It's been a very long time, it feels like, since I last dropped an episode. There's not really too terribly much to report, but my gosh, I just love talking baseball cards. So wanted to kind of let you know what's been on my mind recently and, with the latest happenings have been. So actually, I wanted to start off with kind of a bit of like, just kind of something that gave me a sour taste in my mouth. I ended up getting a case of 2023 Allen & Ginter for Christmas. I've always wanted to open a case with hits in it. I've done a couple cases in the past, I think. I know there was a 92 Topps case that I did, which was, let me tell you guys, like if you've done cases nowadays, like the new ones, nothing compared to the cases back when I was growing up. So, for comparison, 2023 Topps Allen & Ginter has a hobby case, has 12 boxes, and I think 24 packs, 20 packs, something like that. 92 Topps, for example, has 20. Oh, and by the way, Allen & Ginter probably has maybe, 10 cards or less per pack, maybe eight cards. I don't know. A 92 Topps has 15 cards per pack, if I recall correctly, 36 packs per box, and 20 boxes per case. It was really kind of a fun thing. I remember doing an entire case break of 92 Topps because a little league, coach, reached out to me when I was selling some cards, and he said, "You know what? I would like to get just a bunch of cards. They don't even have to be anybody." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. I've got a case of 92 Topps. If you let me open all of them and take all the cards that I want out of them, all the good ones, I'll sell you the rest." And he goes, "You know what? Let's do it." So I ended up being able to, basically break on his dime. And that was fun. I remember my office was just like filled with wrappers, and it was awesome. The other one, from what I recall, I've got a couple others, but one for wax, was 1989 Fleer, and it was an early error code. I actually I wonder how much an A9 Fleer case would go for now. I'm going to look this up while I'm recording this because I'm very curious. And it was an early typing this in early error, or I'm going to say error run. Because back when I opened it up, it was probably, my goodness, maybe. Oh, I don't know, 10 years, maybe 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago. And it was so fun. It looks like what we have here is there's one case. Oh my goodness gracious. There's a one that sold for $2,000. And I think this is a different type of case, a different error run. But I had an early error run case, and it was so fun to go through. I was looking for the quote unquote Rick Face Billy Ripken errors. For those of you out there who don't know about the card, then well, gosh, I mean, I don't know who doesn't know, but just for those who don't, the 89 Fleer Billy Ripken card actually has a swear word that's written on the bat knob, and so they Fleer actually, tried to do everything they could by, putting a black box on it, which is the corrected version, white scribble. There's a saw cut. There's all kinds of them out there, and there's a cult following for that one card just to get as many different versions of it as possible. And so, probably the most infamous card of the 1980s. But anyway, so I ended up opening the entire case and got like half black boxes and half, I feel like it was like black scribbles or white scribbles. It wasn't as good as the profanity one, but it was much better than the black box one, because black box ones aren't really worth anything because there's so many of them made. But the other case I remember was a 1984 Topps vending case. And somebody on Craigslist was selling it for like $20 or something. And speaking of which, I'm kind of interested in knowing what they sell for now. But that was a good one because I pulled a lot of Don Mattingly rookies and Daryl Strawberry rookies. And let's see here. My goodness. The boxes, just the vending boxes themselves, sell for like $150. I don't know if I want to see what a case does now. but because maybe it was $150 to $300 back then, typically, for an entire case, but an entire case, not a box. But anyway, so yeah, I don't know if I've ever done a case with hits. And I told my friend Curtis, you know, I said, because he keeps his ear to the ground as far as good deals for cases go and everything, said, hey, if you run into something, let me know. And, you know, it was around Christmas time. I said, you know what? I'm not really asking for anything. I'm going to pull the trigger on this Allen Ginter case. So I get it. And I actually started doing a video of it because I was like, you know, why don't I just post this? Well, the video ended up being like super long and I'm not exactly the best breaker, not entertaining or whatever, really. I don't think, yeah, too terribly much. But through the entire case, I think I got two baseball related autographs, and there are a few other things as well. But I mean, like, if I'm lucky, I'll probably recoup like half my money on it. And let me tell you guys something, that cured me from having any interest in breaking boxes or cases at all. And that was, it was pretty bad. But I mean, of course, when I say pretty bad, that's probably actually average, because that's how they make their money, right? All we see online are people that hitting these, you know, massive cards or whatever. Well, for every one person that hits a massive card, there's 1,000 people that don't have anything worthwhile to post. So, you know, that's kind of how it goes. But I always wanted to do it, and so I did. And unfortunately, the law of averages got me, and yeah, that's how it is. But I was able to do a pretty nifty looking video that was an instructional video on how to sort cards, because there's a lot of people out there still that complete and put together sets of cards. And guys, it has been a long time since I've tried to put together a full set, like a real 700-800 card set of, you know, baseball cards, like from Topps or Fleer or whatever. But there's one technique that I learned years and years and years ago, how to sort, and it's really effective. It's really great. So I post that video on youtube.com/ Tan Man Baseball Fan, if you're interested. And you know, yeah, it's just a great, great, little tool that you can use for all of you set collectors out there. So as far as Canseco cards go, you know, I've been able to pick up some really nice ones the past couple months. The latest one is a Top Sterling Bat Barrel card, which is really beautiful. And it's really kind of making me second guess my only one special card per category in my collection, rule, because I still have my other museum I really like, but my gosh, I mean, this Sterling Bat Barrel card is just, it's incredible. It's just an incredible card. And so what I did actually is I've got one row or one shelf in my office that shows like my favorite Canseco cards. Well, what I ended up doing is I ended up swapping all of them out entirely with some of my other favorites, because I thought it was just kind of strange. You know, you have these like really neat cards, the Crusades, the Mirror Gold, and some of these others, and the PMGs and all that. And as I'm walking by back and forth from them every single day, several times a day, they kind of lose their luster a little bit. So I decided to put them in a box for a while and replace them and give me something new to look at. And it's been fun. I think it was a good thing. I think it was a good move. I really do like looking at these, you know, looking back over my shoulder and seeing what cards are there now. So I'll probably swap again in the coming months and mix them up and match them and everything. And yeah, it's really been fun. It's really kind of helped. I haven't gotten much in terms of quantity though recently. I got the Bat Barrel, like I talked about a couple weeks ago now, I think. Before that, I got the Rated Rookie Recollection, which is a great get, and then the Clearly Authentic Rookie Cup 1 of 1 from 2018. And there's also a Topps Finest, I think Jose's first autographed Super Fractor Topps Finest card. So all really incredible cards, like just really love them. Yeah, so it's been fun because it's and it's just such a far cry from all of the years that I had these like multiple packages coming in every single day. And I remember feeling this kind of like obligation to go on YouTube and show the videos of the mail days, but I didn't do it every day. Like I would do, if things were piling up, I'd say, okay, well, here's the last, few weeks or several weeks mail days, and there's like 75 cards or something. And the mail days were became fairly meaningless just because of all of them coming in all the time. It's like, oh, okay, here's another card, here's another card. So I think the fact that like very few come in now, they mean so much more. They're much more meaningful to me, especially because a lot of these have stories. I look at the cards on my shelf right now, and I don't just see the cards, I see the stories behind them, like how they got here into my collection. And it's really kind of a fun thing as well, because there's added history to each one of them. And one of them I've talked about before, which is kind of a fun little story, is there's a so Canseco, obviously he his last game they played was in 2001, and he retired officially in 2002. So, which by the way is wild that he retired years younger than what I am now, number one, and number two, that he retired over 20 years ago, and number three, he's been retired longer than he actually played, which is just all of that's just nutty to me. But anyway, so 2002 Leaf Certified comes out with the first a couple of first one card. Number one, the first A's game use patch, and number two, the first patch autograph card of Jose. And it was a neat it's a neat card. It is numbered, if I remember correctly, to 33, but the catch is only the first 10 are signed, and so the other 23 are not. They just have, jersey or patch, I think. But anyways, out of those 10 that are signed and have a patch, not all of them have a patch. So out of, and I'm sorry if that's kind of a disjointed sentence. My wife came in to get something. So, anyways, let me try this again. So, the 2002 Leaf Certified Materials card that has the autograph and the patch, they're only the first 10 of them in the run of 33 have the autograph. And of those 10, not many of them, from what I can see, actually have a patch. They just have like a white jersey part. So, still a super special card as it is. But on my way to Jose's house back in 2015, I actually saw one of these cards for sale. Like they went up to auction, for auction. I was watching. I remember Holly was driving. I was just watching this auction. And I was thinking, okay, I think it's going to go for, $75 or whatever, $100. I mean, back then that was. The hobby and the money from the hobby is like changed drastically since then. But my jaw dropped when I saw that the card went for like $225 or something. I was like, oh man, I really wanted that card, which is funny, right? Like I was on my way to hang out with the man himself, and I'm like upset that I missed buying a picture of him, basically. So, anyways, and none of them have popped up again. In fact, I never got one until I bought out another former super collector, Andrew, who had this fabulous collection. And come to find out, he was the guy that won the card. So that's I've since sold off most of Andrew's cards, but I have kept the ones that were meaningful to me, and that's one of them. And that's the one that's one of them that I have displayed right now. So it's not just the fact that's Canseco's first auto patch card. It's not the fact that it's his first A's patch card. It's also that it is a card that I was actively seeking when I was on Jose's house, on my way to Jose's house, and that came from Andrew. So, it's really kind of a neat thing. There's so many stories like that in my collection, and I think that's kind of what makes the collection that much more enjoyable for me. But anyway, so I'll go ahead and stop there. Please do give me a follow on Instagram, Tanman Baseball Fan, TANMAN Baseball Fan. You'll see all of the, or many of the creations I come up with. I try to post almost every day. Doesn't work out like that always. Like I'll probably average 4 or 5 posts a week of things I design and produce. So feel free to check that out. Twitter is TanManBBFan because they don't allow me to have that much bigger of a username. And yeah, so of course, Facebook I think is, let me see here. I think it's tanner.jones.52. So, and I post most there, for sure. But, and of course, YouTube.com/TanManBaseballFan. Like I said, I try to post all those places, almost every day just to show you kind of what I've come up with. So if you have any interest in custom cards or anything done, please reach out to me as well. And my email, by the way, tanmanbaseballfan@gmail.com. If you have anything you would like for me to talk about on the podcast, I'm all ears. Or if you have any questions, feel free to ask me questions about collecting. So that's all for today, and thank you as always for listening.